Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 today. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read portions of it, though. Genesis chapter 7. And as you find your place, would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word this morning. Genesis chapter 7. Begin in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Verse 4. "For after 7 more days I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." Verse 5. "And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." Verse 7. "So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood." Verse 10. "It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth." Verse 12. "The rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark." Verse 16. "So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." Verse 19. "The waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered." That's about 22.5 feet above the tallest mountain on the face of the earth. Verse 21. "And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle, the beast and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, and all that was on the dry land. So he bestowed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause. Our Father, as we come and we look at this scene of judgment on this earth that we're standing on right now, help us to understand, Lord, that you were not just being mean and cruel. There's a rhyme and a reason behind why this judgment had come. Because of the wickedness of man. Continually, daily, man was evil and it was coming out of his heart. Lord, there was a godly remnant. We understand that. And that's where Noah and his family comes in. But Lord, help us today. And I pray that we would be fearful of the coming judgment. Lord, not just because we're saved, are we going to miss out on the judgment? No, Lord. We're not going to miss out on it. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Because we have loved ones and friends who are going to face that judgment. Lord, there's the ache. There's the pain in our hearts. We know it's coming. We know it's deserved. We know that the world cannot continue the way that it's going. The cruelty, the pedophilia, the sex trafficking, the drug abuse, the cruelty, the Marxism, Lord, just the hatred, the communism, all that's going on around us, bad people in positions of power, Lord, it's going to come to an end. And we know that. Your word tells us that. But, oh God, how our hearts must ache for those who have not yet seen the truth, who have not yet grasped the gospel message, who have not yet heard and understood the difference that Jesus alone can make in their lives and their eternity. So Lord, today I pray as we study, as we open up your word, I pray that we would open up our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray that this would give us a renewed fervor, a refreshed zeal, that God, we would be more passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus. Even if we've told them before, I pray that we would tell them one more time about Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. This is one scripture. I'm going to read about four verses that is powerful for the very day we're living in. Luke 17, verses 26 through 30. It combines two things that we normally go to Matthew and find. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus warned us about these days, and listen to what he says. Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, every person born has that stamp, that imprint of Almighty God inside of them. Now, drop down to verse 22. Chapter 1 of Romans. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 25. Those who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, just reading from Luke, reading from the book of Romans, we have to be honest and say unequivocally, we're living in Noah days and Sodom days. We're here. It's all around us. And we can say, yeah, but that's not us. That's not the point. It's around us. The world is coming to that point. I believe it's past the point of no return, but I believe we're at that point where now it's just a matter of the rapture of the church taking place, tribulation coming to the earth, and then the second coming of Christ. I believe we're there. Now, you say, well, that sounds negative. Well, there's a negative and a positive to it. I mentioned it in my prayer. The negative part is, yes, it's here. It's all around us. We can see it. We can sense it. We can feel it. It's just evil, out of control. But what's the positive, David? Well, the positive is simply this, the fact that that should motivate us, kick it up a notch, if you please, of how important it is that we now share the gospel more than ever before. Because judgment is coming, not if, but because judgment is coming, then, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a responsibility to tell more and more people about Jesus. You say, well, everybody I talk to, they don't want to hear it. How would you like to be in Noah's boat? 120 years. He preached his great-grandfather's funeral, and only seven people listened to him. Only seven people plus Noah would get on the ark. Eight people out of all the population of that day in Noah's day. For 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached the gospel to them. He told them about the ark and that when the judgment comes, that you need to be inside the ark because that's the only safe place. He's building the ark. 11:7 of Hebrews talks about that he was building this ark to save his family. But it was by faith. Why? Because he was doing something for something that had never happened before. It never flooded before. They had no idea what a thunderstorm probably looked like. They had the dew would come down and take care of all of their crops, but yet they never had a storm of judgment. And yet he's telling them that it's going to come. Now stop. I can stand here today and say, judgment is coming. It's something like you've never seen before. It's going to be a divine judgment. God is going to do this. He's told us in His Word. He's told us what it's going to look like. And our only hope is the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will get in Him, you will be saved from the judgment. If you will come to Christ, cry out to Him, confess and admit that you are a sinner and that you are broken, that you are lost, that you are undone, and that you have no hope anywhere else, and you come and you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that saving ark, you will be saved from the judgment. You will be saved from the wrath of God. So how did that happen? Because on the cross, the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus for the sins of the whole world. And so if we will get in the ark of Christ, we will be spared the wrath of God falling on us because it has already fallen on Christ. Just as as Noah and his family are going to get into the ark, when the wrath of God comes and judgment upon the earth in the way of a flood, those were the only ones who were spared. The next judgment is not going to be by water. We have a rainbow to testify against that. But the next judgment will be fire. It will be like Sodom, where God is going to come. And we'll go to 2 Peter, and we can do all this later. But when God comes, when the second coming happens after the 1,000 years of millennial reign, God is literally going to recreate the earth. He's going to burn the earth off with fire. He's going to purify the earth, purify the Garden of Eden that once was, and then the New Jerusalem is going to come down out of the heaven. And that will be heaven on earth. You say, wow, that's a great story. No. It's not a story, it's fact, because that's what the Word of God has given us. We have all of this truth in front of us. So my question today is for all of us, what kind of ark are you building for the saving of your family? What kind of ark are you making provisional for your family? Back in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 5, we have moral corruption. Chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Abortion, pedophilia, sex trafficking, pornography, drug addiction, mental health crisis. There's also an integrity crisis. This was back in Noah's day. Character traits are a thing of the past. Now it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, who can get in the first shot. Spiritual blindness, famine of the Word of God. Listen to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Listen to what he's saying. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, they had the knowledge in Hosea's day, but they didn't want it. Today, we have the Word of God in every shape, form you can imagine. You can listen to it. You can read it. You can have somebody explain it to you. You can come to church and you can hear it preached. And yet, no one wants to hear the Word of God. Lack of conscience, murder rates soaring. True believers are in the minority. But just as in Noah's day and Sodom's day, God still has a witness. As a matter of fact, God told Enoch to name his son Methuselah, which means when he dies, judgment will come. Now listen to this. Methuselah was born in the year 687, and he lived 969 years. If you do the math, he died in the year 1656, the very year that the flood came. In other words, God gave the wicked world 120 years of grace. Noah, being a preacher of righteousness, he was preaching and preparing the ark at the same time. You and I can live as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping our lives as close and clean as we possibly can, and at the same time living for Him, we are building an ark of salvation. What is that ark? The ark is your faith. The ark is your faith in Christ. Your ark is the fact that you live your life so that people, they see a difference in you, and they will come to you and they say, what about this? What about what happens in death? What about all these questions? You and I are those arcs. Today, God is warning us that judgment is coming. 2 Peter 3, with fire this time, not with water. But again, sadly, few are listening and even few are believing. So, well, David, what does that mean? We have to be like Noah. We have to keep on keeping on. We have to continue to tell. We have to continue to live our lives as such. We have to continue to preach when we have the opportunity. Now listen carefully. Noah's ark was never intended to be a ship. It was this vast enclosed chest designed solely for the purpose of housing and preserving a large number of living creatures. 450 feet long, 150 feet wide, and 45 feet high. 300 million cubic feet. It looked like an aircraft carrier. No craft was ever expected to endure such a storm. It had no rudder, had no engines. It didn't have a sail. It was just a box. And by the way, when they built the ark out of gopher wood, some say, well, it was cypress. The only time in ancient days that they would use that kind of wood was to build a coffin. A coffin. But the ark was ready. Every board, every nail, the pitch had been applied inside and outside. And listen about the pitch. The pitch in the Hebrew is the same word for atonement. The pitch was applied on the inside and it was applied on the outside of the ark. This was God's ark. This was God's plan. This was God's purpose for the saving of mankind. Notice with me, first of all, the deliverance of the godly. We've already read verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Couple things. Notice, God says, come into the ark. Now, question, where's God? He's already in the ark. You can only say come if you're already in a place. Come into the church. Now, why would I say that? Because I'm already in the church. God tells, I keep saying Adam. I wish he would just stay over there with Eve and take care of the garden. He tells Noah to come into the ark. Come where I am. That's where safety is. But notice what else. He says, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. That doesn't mean that Noah was perfect. That means, and the word righteous there means that he is going in the right direction, that he is struggling to honor God. He's doing everything that God has asked him to do. Salvation was simply shutting in all the saved with God on the ark. Noah went into the ark. You and I are in Christ. So between the believer and God's wrath is who? Our ark, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the storm so that we could be safe. I like Revelation 22:17. And it says, and the Spirit says, and it's, the Spirit says twice, come, come. And then it says, and those who have heard, let them say, come. So the Holy Spirit is inviting people to come to faith in Christ. And then those of us who have heard, we're being admonished in Revelation 22:17 to tell others to come as well. Verses 2 through 4. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and a female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also 7 each of the birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of the earth. You say, why 7? We know that's a heavenly number. But you've got 3 pairs, male and female, and they're to be used to what? To procreate after the flood. But what's number 7? The 7th one, and we'll find it later as we go through chapter 7 and 8, the 7th animal will be a sacrificial animal. A sacrifice. So I didn't know that. That's why you come to church. That's why you come here. We say, well, here's always the question. Little kids. Brother David, how did Noah get all those animals on the ark? I said, it was very simple. Just like the animals came to Adam and Adam named them, God put it in the animals that they would come to Noah and get on the ark. That doesn't seem... God's a God of order. Sometimes we make things so complicated, and it's so simple. Who's in control of all that's going on here? Well, the world's going crazy. Who's in control of our day? Well, the world's going crazy. Who's in control? The same one that was in control of that day is the same one who's in control of our day. And his name is Almighty God. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. As they came to Adam, they came to Noah. The ark became the serpent's nest and the lion's den. God had promised to redeem creation. That's in Romans chapter 8. It talks about how that creation is groaning and moaning for the day of redemption, because even the earth, even creation knows that judgment is coming. Now verses 5 through 9, verse 5 is so important. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. What was at stake? Noah feared what was getting ready. He feared judgment was coming. Now, here's the thing. Well, you know, and it's we do this with hurricanes. Let's take Elsa. We've been picking on her all morning. We're watching the models, and there's only like, you know, here, they call it spaghetti, and we're looking at all these, you know, it's got going this way, this way, this way. And then we sit down and we go, okay, what I want to know is, and here we are 48 hours away, how bad is it going to be? So if I know how bad it's going to be, I know what I need to prepare for. Now, you know what? People do the same thing with hell and with judgment and the wrath of God. I wonder how bad it's going to be. Well, let me give you an FYI. For your information, it's going to be worse than you could ever imagine. Because God in his holiness is coming, and he's going to pour his wrath out on a world that hates him, despises him, mocks him, and has abused everything that God has given them. The wrath of God, and it will be measured. How do you know that? Go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. It's amazing how that God has all the answers for us, but now the next issue is you have to accept it. Believe it. Romans 2, 4. Or do you despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Now watch verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 6. Who will render to each one according to his deeds? Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. God's respecter of no person. Now, back to verse 5. You're storing up wrath against the day of wrath. I mean, you think about that, all right? 401k, savings account, however you want. You're storing it up. You're storing up wrath. How do you produce wrath? Disobedience, unbelief. And then add all the other sins that that's being weighed out. So you're going to have all of this. And one day when you stand before Almighty God, who will render, verse 6, to each one according to his deeds, you will be measured out the wrath of Almighty God against you. And listen, that's just the wrath of God. That's not hell, and that's not the lake of fire. That's just the wrath of God. That is God's anger, that's God's displeasure, that is God's statement to you that what you have done was unholy and unrighteous. And you know what's going to make it even worse? God's going to remind you of all the things that he did for you. Go back to verse 4. You despised his riches, the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. You have ignored all of that, the forbearance of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. You have turned your heart away from all of that. Say, David, why are you telling us this? I mean, I'm here. But do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? See, it's one thing to be a church member, but it's a whole other story when you're a member of the family of God. Churches today around the world, I wonder how many people are in there that are not truly saved. So you're just trying to scare me.
Yeah.
Trying to scare the out of you. Why? Because I don't want you to go there. If we understand that what he's saying, you know, and like one man said, this is when you talk about the second coming and you talk about, when Jesus comes back and the battle of Armageddon, and you talk about how horrific it's going to be and all the things that are going to take place and the power and the force and all of that. He says, Hollywood can't even come close to giving us a picture of what that's going to look like. Hollywood. So what should that do to us? Well, for me, personally, it strikes fear in my heart. Well, aren't you saved? I am saved. But it's reverential fear for an almighty, holy, and righteous God who has, one of these days, he's going to have enough, and this is going to happen. And I'm going to stand off to the side with the rest of us with broken hearts and tears flowing down our faces as we look down and we see what's happening to our family members and our uncles and our cousins and our work, you know, watch all of our friends happening to them, and all because they mocked, they laughed, they made fun of. They have no idea what's going to happen, just like in Noah's day, just like in Sodom's day with Lot, until it begins to happen. When judgment comes, then they'll know. Then they'll know. When I was a teenager, I had a couple of accidents and I ended up getting my license suspended. And one day, I told you this a couple of years ago, we were riding down, and Sandy and I were dating, and we were riding down the road, and I looked up in the mirror, and I said, man, there's a policeman behind me. So she turns around and she looks. I said, don't look at him, don't look. She said, why? I mean, guilt all over me. But you know what? Until I knew he was there, I didn't have any guilt. But when I saw he represents the law, soon as I saw him, all of a sudden, all of my transgressions, all of my sin, all of my, everything was right there. Don't get any attention. Don't even, he stops us looking. Don't do that. That's what's going to happen to the world when they finally stand before God. They're going to know why they're there. God's not going to have to say, now, let me explain to you why you're here. No, they're going to know why. They're going to remember all the times they laughed and mocked and made fun of. They're going to remember all the times that, you can't believe that stuff. They're going to remember all the times that someone tried to witness to them and you made fun of them and you mocked them. And even though what they were saying was the truth, and it may not have been presented with boldness, they may have been a little bit timid, fearful. Maybe they didn't give you all of it. And yet you just sort of pushed it away. But you got enough to know why you deserve what you're going to deserve. Verse 10, back in Genesis. Came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. God put Noah and his family on the ark. For 7 days, nothing happened. Can you imagine what's going on outside the ark? And by the way, if you look up in verse 16, it says, and God shut them in. He shut the door. The Lord, it's his ark. He shut the door. He put them in. He said, come. They got in. God shut the door. For 7 days, they're just sitting there. Nothing's happening. Sun's shining. You can hear the animals on the inside of the ark. Everything's going on. Nothing's happening. Can you imagine what's going on outside? Hey, Noah! How's it going in there? Laughing, probably even had a Noah watch. They went out there just, you know, said, well, he's got to come out there sometime. Then after 7 days, verse 10, it began to rain. Verse 12, the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 11, and the deep began to break open. Some say there was volcanoes and the ground was just erupting and had all these, and it was pouring down rain, and you've got all these flash floods, you got all this, and that it was over the tallest mountain, Mount Everest, tallest mountain in the world. It was 22 and a half feet above that. The exact day was given. The hour has arrived. The appointment was kept. Waters of the flood came fast and furious. No place to hide. No mountain was high enough. For those of you who are trying to figure it all out, chapter 8, verse 3 of Genesis, it took 150 days for the water to recede. 60 days, 2 months later, Noah would leave the ark. He would be on the ark for 1 year and 17 days. That's a lot of judgment. 1 year, 17 days. Chapter 9, the rainbow would appear. That was God's promise. He never flooded the earth again. So here's some facts. We'll put this together. God pledged himself to save all those who believed his word. His word came through Noah. God said, if you get on the ark, you'll be saved from the judgment. That's God's word. You're going to respond to God's word one way or the other. You'll either obey it, trust it, or you'll disobey it. I've already mentioned the word. The wood was gopher wood. Cypress, used for coffins. Pitch, same word for atonement, means covering. It kept the waters of judgment from them. There was one window. They were to look to God and not at the destruction. There was only one door. See how simple God makes it? One door, one way, one truth. And then look in Genesis 8:20. After 1 year, 17 days, Noah and his family get off the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That was the seventh of everyone. So after the judgment, it was time to worship. After the judgment on the earth, Revelation 4 and 5, we're going to do what? We're going to worship God in heaven. In the ark of Jesus Christ, you will be saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and from the presence of sin. That's what you get when you're in Christ. Noah and his family were saved. One last scripture, Hebrews 11, 7, and then we'll go home. Listen carefully what it says. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. His obedience was condemning the world. He was saving his family and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. His faith caused him to work. Warren Wiersbe would say he had a faith that worked, and his works proved his faith. My question this morning, what kind of ark are you building for the saving of your family? Say, well, but before we leave, I want you to do a couple of things. And this is so important. There's not one of us in here that's done it right all the way. Made mistakes. I mean, if I could go back and raise my daughter, I'd probably do a lot of things different. I can go back, and this is the third church that God has allowed me to pastor. I would do a lot of things different. A lot of things different. It was just so many things in my mind, and a lot of times you say, well, what is that, guilt? I don't know what it is, but sometimes I just kick myself. Why didn't you slow down and do this and do that? But here I am today. I want to finish strong for the Lord. I want to start doing it better, doing it right today. I want to honor him with every area of my life, every area. Not only my personal walk, my relationship with Sandy and Lauren and Billy and my five grandchildren, you know, I want them to know that this is what the ark of salvation looks like. Live my life as such so that they can see that. And so as the Lord moves on their heart, they're looking for a model, they're looking for a plan, they're looking for directions. They can say, I see that in Pops. I see that in Dad. Can't do it perfectly. Not going to. Can't. Too many flaws. But I want to make sure that they can see that. And the only one who can help me do that is God. Nobody else can do it. I can't discipline myself enough. I have to have God's grace, because when I mess up, they see that. They need to understand that there's grace. And that's when you got to be honest with them. It's not about trying to be perfect. It's just honoring God with our lives. Scratches and all. Scratches and all. Every once in a while, one of my grandsons comes up and says, Pops, did you ever? I went, oh, I don't want to talk about this. Yeah, I did. You did not. Yes, I did. Were you saved? Yes, I was. How could you? I am just stupid. I was wrong. And it was painful and it hurts. And now it's painful again. Don't go there. Don't do that. What kind of ark are you building? If you're trying to figure it out on your own, that boat is going to sink. You need the ark of Jesus. And you need to get in that ark. And you need to trust him with your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your brothers and sisters. We have to trust him because he's the only one who can save them. I can't save them. I'm going to save them and get out my Christian cookie cutter and make them just like this. Ah, there they are. Only problem is they keep running away like the cookie man, the gingerbread man. They need a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not me. They need to walk with him. They need to know that he loves them. They need to know that he forgives them. They need to know that. So all I can do is tell them, all right, stop. Say that again. All I can do is tell them, that's the point. That's what he wants us to do. We can share it with them. We can tell them. And then we have to let it go. By faith, Noah built an ark for the saving of his family. By faith, Noah built the ark. My faith is not in them trusting my words. My faith is in God saving them for his glory. By faith. Every day, I give them to the Lord by faith. Lord, you do this work of grace in them, please. Salvation, sanctification. Lord, mold and shape them. Lord, you take care of them. I give them to you. Lord, I give you my church family. People say, how can you remember so many names? Because your name gets called out a lot. When I'm bad, all the time. Good, bad, or ugly, your name's getting called out. You say, how do you do that? Where I stand, I start over here. I go through the choir. I go over Miss Faith. I got Rana. I got Garrett. I got Mr. Reeland. I got Heather, Andrew. And I've got Asher. I got all of them. You go right down the road. And if you move, you mess me up. Stop it. All right? Corey and Amy. Hey, they're over here. They're over here. They're over here. Oh. Jeff. I mean, I can always see Jeff. He sits in the same seat. If not, Lori Lee will spank him. So I know where that's going to be. So I know where everybody is. Miss Libby, I know where everybody is. I know where all y'all are. I got Beth, I got all of you lined up here, you know, and I got the violinist, you know, and this morning Gene came, you know, great, great. So I got everybody. I got it's just right there, it's in my head. I got you. So my prayer for you is by faith that God is going to assure you of your salvation and that he's going to sanctify you. He's only going to do that. I preach, I teach. If you can stay awake, sometimes they get long, but then I turn you over to him. I got the sound booth. I know all the guys in the sound booth. I got everybody. Gary, Jeanette, Thomas and Marlene. I got Steve and Sue. I got them. I got Aaron and Kim. Got all of them. Got them. That's family. Question family. What's the ark look like that you're building for your family? Let it be the ark by faith, the ark of Christ. Pray that your family will get in the ark, get in the boat. So what do we say to them? Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit says, come twice. Then it says, and those who hear say, come. I can invite them. I can't make them get on the boat. I can invite them. Come. Here's where safety is. Say, David, I'm so tired. I'm so frustrated. I've talked to them. They think I'm a fool. They don't listen to me anymore. Okay. When you get to 120 years, call me. We'll talk about it. Okay? Sometimes I get so frustrated. Let's don't talk about frustration. I can get there in about 30 seconds, but I don't stay there. Amen. Let's pray. Father, God, it is so important today that when we say, come, when we say, come, Lord, they hear those words. Lord, it's your words. You're asking them, you're begging them to come. Why? Because you know what's coming. So do we. We have an idea. We don't know how bad it's going to be. Oh, God, it's going to be bad. Separation from you for all eternity, that's bad. Dying in our sins, that's bad. Facing the wrath of God, that's bad. But come to the ark of salvation. Come to Christ. Be in him. The wrath of God, the judgment of God has already fallen upon him. That's why the cross was so bad. But it was necessary so that we could have forgiveness of sin, everlasting life, freedom. Freedom. The chains of sin can be broken. We've been set free. Lord God, I pray this morning that you speak to every heart of every person under the sound of our voice. Lord, I think of the cities today that are listening in. You got Rockford, Washington State. We got Lovington, New Mexico. Lord, there's Michigan. There's Kinston, North Carolina, there's Valdosta, there's Alabama, there's Fort Walton Beach, there's Jacksonville, there's Palm Coast. Lord, and they're just all over the place. I pray this message of grace would find their hearts today. Lord, for those who are seated here, I pray that your word of grace would find its place in their hearts today. And Lord, today would be a time of reckoning on our own. The things that you've been convincing and convicting us about, Lord, today we would deal with them right now. We would ask for forgiveness. We would ask for strength to repent of those things. God, we would make phone calls. We would go and see people and we would ask for their forgiveness. Lord, that the ark that we're building, Lord, there won't be any baggage attached to it. It'd just be Jesus and his goodness and his grace. and his mercy. God, stir us today. In Jesus' name, amen.